is not, they didn't say a prudent wife is an Igbo woman. They did not say a prudent wife is a Hausa girl. They did not say a prudent wife is a Yoruba woman. You understand my point? That's where my wife is from. They did not say a prudent wife is from this particular local government. They say the prudent wife is what? Of the Lord. Therefore, it is doubt and unbelief to ask God for anything beyond that prudent wife. Once you qualify where she's coming from, you're walking in doubt. That's where I'm going. These elections are coming up, right? Okay? Christians, this is how you ensure you don't pray prayers that don't work. You can support one candidate and have your personal opinion. But when it comes to prayer, you're allowed to say only one thing or two things. One, God, give us good leaders that will execute this judgment. You know, that's what the Bible says. Execute judgment in the land and all of that. Okay? You pray that prayer. Then you quote this scripture because everything we ask God for is founded upon the word of God. From Daniel chapter, I think chapter 4, that the Almighty rules in the affairs of men and gives the kingdoms over to whomsoever he wishes. Whomsoever he does what? Whomsoever he does what? It is whomsoever he wishes, not we like. And sets upon it the lowliest, the person least likely in the eyes of other people, he puts him there. Some people have criticized the current head of state. All right? They've criticized the current head of state. Why insulting the word of God? They don't realize it. They confirm the word, insult the word, why criticize another man? You know, like, you are confirming the word. Then what is his problem? How did he even get there, sir? Did he ever campaign for office? He has never campaigned for any office in his life. Was he the one that campaigned for vice president, for deputy governor? No. It was... Then they impeached his governor, and then he suddenly found himself as governor. You see? Then who wanted himself? Nobody. It was just because the person they wanted said he didn't want to be a deputy. They now made him a deputy, a vice president. Then the president above him just went the way of all flesh, you know? And then he became president. That is why now. As you open your mouth talking that you're nonsense, you are just confirming the word of God at every step. By the grace of God, he is what he is. His power working towards it did not prove it. You know what I mean? In that he accomplished more than them all, but not him, but the grace of God working with you. You just confirm the scriptures that the Almighty rules in the affairs of men and sets upon the lowliest of them. You're just confirming the word of God. And this is what exactly you are praying for yourself. You are praying that God should take you to a place that you don't personally deserve. Then when he does it for somebody else, you are angry. Do you think sitting down there, you deserve to be the MD of a multi-billion dollar company? You don't. The guys who are competing against you don't think you deserve it. But is that not what you're asking God for? Why should he do it for you if he can't do it for somebody else? Why are you angry with him when he does it for somebody else? Why don't you take the particular posture that since he has done it for this person and this is my nation, do you get my point? I must ensure that things succeed. If they say that this man is doing like this, you go and pray. Say, God, he will do the opposite. What is right? In the name of Jesus. Righteousness. Okay. Instead of using that prayer to buy a car that will catch fire. You don't know cars catch fire. Yes, they perish. Hey, the fact that you bought it by faith doesn't mean it can't catch fire. Buying it by faith does not make it non-combustible. Get that one clear? This, I'm not emphasizing what we should spend our faith on. I'm talking about this ownership thing. A lot of times, our prayers are not effective, and these are the reasons. We are going to pray for the country, but we have made up our minds that our candidate must win. How should a Christian react in the time of election? This is what I said, and let me say it again. First point, you pray. First point is what?
Prayer.
First point is what?
Prayer.
We ask God to give us rulers that will establish righteousness. We ask God to give us rulers that will establish justice. We ask God to give us rulers that will promote freedom so that the gospel can be preached. We ask God to give us rulers that will help the country progress economically. We ask God for such things. That's number one. And when we are doing that, we remind him that the Almighty, that we understand, because he knows. We declare that we understand that the Almighty rules in the affairs of men and gives the kingdoms over to whosoever he wishes. Then, like I said, this is democracy. It is not the best form of government. It's just a currently accepted form of government. All right? So, what does that mean? You must vote. Go and get your PVC and plan to vote. Next point, when you are voting, please, please, don't vote like that joker who I wrote about in that article. Who came was my roommate in university. I remember the guy very well. We used to call him Polo. He was a law student. He came to the hostel and said, that boy is very stupid. He doesn't have a head. He cannot move this association forward. I don't know why people like him are running for the president of the association. He abused the guy for like maybe 20, 30 minutes. At the end of the day, he said, meanwhile, I voted for him, Sha. I couldn't believe my ears. You know, like, Polo, what did you say? He said, I voted for him. I said, why? He said, he's my brother. I said, you see, this is why God, that's what they call double-mindedness. You cannot vote for what you are not asking for. Are you getting my point? Your vote is a statement in God's ears. If you say this man is bad and evil, don't vote for him. Yes, it's a simple thing. If you are sure. Now, it doesn't mean you are right. I want you to understand the way God relates with us. It doesn't mean you are right. You are explaining that within the limit of your understanding, this man, I don't think he's good for this office. It doesn't mean you are right. So you don't cast your vote for a man based on reasons that you cannot say before God. Are you getting my point? Look at Nigeria now as an example of this season. Some people decide that one of the candidates is an Islamist. And they are sure of that. For that reason, don't judge them. They will never vote for him for any reason. In fact, they go out that day with prayer to vote against him. You know, there are two kinds of voting. There's for and against. In which I have nothing for the other candidate to, but I have everything against you. So let me vote for the other candidate so as to reduce your likelihood of winning. That is their own understanding. Do you understand? Some will say, no, he's an anti-corruption man. And corruption is our problem. So I will vote for... Now, I don't agree with any of these people I'm saying. I'm just trying to illustrate. Whatever you are convinced of, God expects you to act accordingly. So what if I'm thoroughly confused? You have one or two things. You can decide that day, I'm serious. And with prayer, ask God for excuse not to go. Don't just sit at home out of negligence. Say, Lord, I want to go and vote. But in all honesty, I don't know who to vote for. Do you understand? And we are Christians. We should pray. The Holy Spirit will help. He will explain things to you. He will do that. That at the end of the day, you vote according to what you are persuaded about. Knowing that the person you are persuaded about may be wrong, he may not be the person God wants. God is not a Democrat. I hope you understand my point. He is God. All this democracy you are doing is between you and your neighbors. It does not cross to heaven. The person who will be a head of state, he has appointed as at now. All this campaign is part of the exercise in mortality. Do you get my point? We're just showing our mortality. Just we have to go and campaign. Very important. Some people may say that, okay, so what is the relevance of my vote? I say, your vote is what? A statement. And if all of us vote with that is in that, making a statement that we don't care, let everything spoil, it will spoil. That's what I want to explain to Christians. I'm talking about this unbelief thing. Unbelief is when you claim you are praying one way, then you use your expectations and your words and your behavior to overturn the faith of God. That is, you overturn what is written in Scripture. That's what unbelief is. And I always like to use that marriage as an example because it's just a perfect example. It's just a perfect example. The Bible says clearly that henceforth we know no man after the flesh. If any man is in Christ, and that applies to women too, you understand what I'm saying? If any woman is in Christ, the same thing. He or she is a new creature. All things are passed away. And we say a prudent wife is from the Lord. So when we are going to pray, we do not go outside these bounds. Anything you say outside these bounds, all right, as a way of insisting upon something, then you are praying in unbelief. That's why it is possible for somebody to be praying in faith like Andrew Womack said, somebody can be praying in faith, but these other thoughts in the person's heart is what is not allowing the faith to work. You're a Christian, you are mapping for God where your wife should come from. You know, you'll be there for a very long time. Did you hear what I said? You'll be there for a very long time. There are things that in Christianity, you must understand what sin is. When God said, go into the promised land, and the people said, we are not able. You know what the Lord said? They have conspired against me. They did not say, come, let's go and fight God. Did they say so? What did they just say? We cannot enter. God said, go in and possess the land. They said, we cannot go in because there are giants in the land. The land is good, just like you said. We brought crops back, fruits, to show how productive this land is. But there are giants in the land. We are like grasshoppers in their eyes. Even when we judged it, indeed, we were grasshoppers before them. Caleb and Moses and Jacob, who you know what they said, if our God is with us, their defenses have departed away from them, and we can take the land. They said, we are not able. When God answered, you know what he said? He said, these people have conspired against me. Are you getting my point? When you disagree with the express word of God that has been shown to you, it is conspiracy against God. That's what it is. It is conspiracy against God. So I wrote my brethren then, you know, like I said, that thing I was telling you about. I said, as we are going to pray, because I've heard all kinds of talk, all these discussions that we have amongst ourselves, we carry them to the place of prayer, and they are bad. In fact, you know, I told you before, most prayers that Christians pray don't work. Most Christians. Because you go to a prayer with some attitude. Some people are angry. That is, they are just angry. You know, you know, may your father not ruin your life. Somebody say amen. Amen. Some parents are still angry over the war that ended in 1970. So their daughters want to marry, their sons want to marry. They are still using the battle of Asaba to decide who this girl will marry in 2015. If you let them do it to you, your father will die in peace. You are the one that will have trouble. I am serious about that. And I keep on telling young Christians, let them know now that you are a believer. It is not when you want to marry, it's when you wake up. You know, I'm a Christian and I'm a church. If I were your father, I would slap you. If I am discovering your Christianity when you want to marry husband and wife, you're on your own. I mean, you're on your own, thoroughly on your own. It is when the husband-wife matter hasn't come up that they should be understanding your stance on some things. That is, by now, they should already know that your ways are odd. Yes. No, I'm serious. They should see your attitude towards things and people. Disagreeing now when there's no wife to fight over. Quarrel now. Literally, I mean quarrel. That you've not yet brought a husband. When your father says people like this area, from this area, they are like that. He says it's true. All unbelievers are like that. Are you getting my point? Qualifies for them. Yes, that's how unbelievers. See, when God has not changed people's hearts, human beings, all the sins of their grandfathers, they are still taking it up. They are still acting like that. Yes, unbelievers. Thank God for Christians. You've dropped something gently. We are not marrying yet, though. We are just discussing. You drop it in regularly. Regularly. This boy took my money. He didn't bring it back. Unbelievers, that's how they are. They will collect money and not bring it back. Thank God for Christians. He said, what these people from this part of the country, either north, west, east, central, whatever, they are like this. He said, it's true. But there was this Christian I met from there. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. The gist is going on. So the day you go and bring one guy who's from a tribe your father has never heard of, his only claim to fame would be he's a Christian. And you have made it clear to them long ago. Some people, it's the day they want to marry. After your father don't draw your ear several times. That is, every when you're at the house, you're gisting. Your father has said, listen, no, I don't want to hear that you want to marry and you cross River Niger or River Benue to go and bring me a man or a woman. And you say, yes, Papa. You have been saying that, yes, Papa, like home video for a very long time. I mean, the papas only exist in the home videos. You understand what I'm saying? You've been doing yes, Papa, for a long time. Then the day you want to marry, say, what happened? We were praying. And the Holy Spirit now said, it was not my fault. It's the fault of the Holy Spirit. You are the one looking for trouble. As he's drawing your ears, you should use style to lean over towards him and say, Daddy, just unless he's a serious believer. What do you mean? Christians are different. They are not from any tribe. They are from the tribe of heaven. What I'm just praying to God is that let me meet a sincere one. Well, if you drop that regularly, they've been hearing for a long time. In fact, the Holy Spirit will have, that is, all your siblings will say, Daddy, leave him or leave her. You know, that's how they have always been. Everybody using their money to do this. This one is using the money to preach the gospel. The other day, they see that your life has been odd. You have not been a normal person. You can't. No, I'm serious. It's a Christian. That's the mistake they make. They want to change when crucial decisions are on ground. I thank God for my life. My mother knew long ago that was very odd. She knew long ago, that is, she knew very long ago that this guy is not normal. We've quarreled, not quarreled really. We've disagreed over every little. I remember those days when. I just remember this one that's making me laugh. I'm just laughing, just remembering it. You know, I'm telling you, the country is good now. Country is good. When my colleagues were very poor, you know, my colleagues are doing good now. They're very, very poor all over the country. So, of course, you will hear that, one of your cousins, one of your brothers, he has gone to America. Then you hear that one day you come home. Because he sent one of these old Mercedes-Benz homes, you know. Sent one home. I want to start a foundation. They are building a house for the, you know those stories keep on going. Then you come with your poverty handbag when you travel home all the time. Some of those days, I was home. You know, I was listening to my mom. I remember we were standing that day, I think in the sitting room or in front of the house. We're just talking. Just said that, I'm a doctor, for those of you who don't know, all right? And those are the easiest professions to export. That's one of Nigeria's greatest exports. Look, Nigeria, those days, under Olukoye Ransom Kuti, Nigeria had 25,000 specialists in America alone. And I'm talking about the days of Olukoye Ransom Kuti. You start wondering, where did they come from? These are medical schools, produce that amount? Yes. They've more than doubled since that time. More than half of my classmates are between US and UK. More than half. I mean, I had a very exportable profession. So that day we were in my house. So my mother now said, Banky. Well, doesn't call me Banky really, but just said, Banky, you said, won't you consider, you know, this exportation of your personality? Before the word finished dropping from her mouth, I remember, that's why I started laughing. I said, Mommy, Archbishop Benson Dawuza said, a lizard in Nigeria will not become an alligator in America. And she said, you have come again. She just said, yeah, you have come again. I said, but it is true. When I come marry, finish, my mother-in-law and my father-in-law, they now found out that their daughter married a very odd creature. They found out that everything about us different. I told you before, my wife's elder sister lives in the UK. When she was pregnant with Ozea Akinolu, one day my mother-in-law now said that, maybe you should try and, you know, arrange. And I was so sure she was going to pay for the ticket, not me. And go and visit your sister so that you will deliver while you are over there. So my wife said, how long will I stay before I come back home. So maybe, I don't know what they discovered, maybe like 2 months, that kind of thing. So my wife said, my husband will not see his child for 2 months. But when I looked like, I said, what's the big deal? So I better forget that one. She couldn't believe it. Do you understand my point? You tell a young woman, I'm going to buy your ticket, you go and visit, stay coolly in UK, then born your pikin in UK, get another British citizen, and then come back home. Now my wife just stay, I cast the thing down like principality. You know, like every stronghold. My mother-in-law confessed that you people are very odd. No, she confessed. Ask my wife, she confessed there and then that you guys are not normal Nigerians. No, it's a good testimony. I like it like that. So nobody they quarrel with me over anything again. You know, I've done all the bad things. You know, they are used to it. And as I'm asking you, do all your bad things now. Amen. It's not when you want to marry a husband. Suddenly they now realize that you're a Christian. And even if the man is from Benue State, it doesn't matter. Even me, I agree, it matters. If it's now, I'm finding out. Why won't it matter? You smoke something. Why won't it matter? I've known you all these years. I did not know it didn't matter. It's the day you now brought a husband. Suddenly it doesn't matter. My sister, it will matter for 6 months. So, do you get my point? Yeah, you have a long battle ahead of you. Come and meet me. I'll pray with you. I'll beg your father too. But listen, you left that battle too late. That's the point I'm making. You will still win, but you have a long fight ahead of you. That's just the point I am making by that. All right, let me summarize my message today, please. All right? So what I'm going to talk about is this unbelief. When we go to prayer, sometimes our prayers don't work because of what the Bible, what James calls doubting. And I'm trying to emphasize to us that doubt is not just refusal to believe. It's all the little things we add to prayer that makes prayer disagree with what God may want to do. I use the word may because sometimes we don't really know. Do you understand? Not sometimes. A lot of times we don't know specifics. Let me just drop this, please. To prevent that thing, therefore, when you are praying, always stick with what is recorded. Are you getting my point? Good leadership is recorded. It's desirable. It is for a country. A leader that will promote justice is desirable. When injustice prospered in the land, the Bible says the Lord saw and it displeased him. It displeases him. It displeases him when there's injustice. So when you are praying specifically, say, Lord, so that there will be justice. That's the thing that's recorded. Please, let me ask you, do not mention anybody's name when you are praying. It's a request I want to make. Like this presidential election, this gubernatorial election. See the way I pray for a Enugu government. You have heard it in me say it about times. I've declared some things. And let me just say another thing. Stop praying again. We have prayed enough. Somebody say amen. Yeah. I mean, election is just next week or 2 weeks or you know, over the next few weeks. We have prayed enough. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's continue to do what? Declare. Let's know that God has heard us. And what he's saying now is let's keep on declaring. But please don't mention anybody's name in declaration. There are people I don't want to win this election, but I have restrained myself. I will not mention their names. Because sometimes your Messiah comes as a little child. Are you getting my point? He doesn't look like a Messiah. He doesn't look like a Messiah. Your Messiah arrives, he's one scrawny little boy like this. And when they give you all the pedigree, the qualifications, he doesn't look like a Messiah. So what do? You take him, you crucify him. And then now you're asking for deliverance. God said, you should have said, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. That you have crucified your deliverance, I'm very sorry. As I tell young women especially, young men too do it small, not so bad. But it's worse with young women. Young guys also do it too. They go look one girl, say she's not fine. Now lie, you know. Listen, if I rub your face, you go fine. Do you hear what I say? You didn't catch that revelation. Chooks, you didn't catch it. All these single boys don't know what we're talking about. If I marry you and prophesy over you, if I put my hand on your cheek, you go fine. Put my hand on your head saying, what are you saying? Me? You don't know. According to Miles Morrow those days, he said, cultivate. He said, keep and cultivate. He said, it's a man's job to cultivate his wife. You know what to cultivate? Dress her up nicely. You speak. That is, oh God, let's not go there. We should do a seminar. What do you think? Yes, I don't know. You see, the Chukwu is shouting, yes, sir. You know, your young men also do it. Some guys, they want to marry a sub babe. You know what they call a sub babe? You know what a sub babe? Okay. Pepperless. There's no problem. You can make it yourself. Do you get my point? And God gives you a wife. Don't worry. Say, oh, girl, I'm going to assolize you. Do you understand my point? I'm telling you, the Lord is good. Let's leave it like that. But that one is not as common. The one that's more common is the other way around. Remember, the Savior may be a child. Do you hear what I said? Yes, he can come not looking like his Savior. And most of these boys, that's how they come looking like, with shoes that need vulcanizer. Yeah, you don't know that some shoes need patching. Put them, cook them. So you don't blame the girl. The girl, you look out from top to bottom. You want to marry. I instruct you to deal with the word of God. If you're a woman, never do that. There are things you do in heaven, God gets angry. Let nobody tell that God doesn't get angry. He does. He can be displeased. If you laugh at any of his children, he doesn't like the idea. Are you getting my point? A young man wants to marry you and you roll your eye up, gauge the guy go up, gauge and come down. You wonder whether I heard correct. Would I not look you before you approach? If you have ever done that, you will repent today. Say amen. You will repent when? Today. For the one you did 6 years ago, you still remember his name. His name was Philip or Andrew or Bartholomew or Matthew or Judas, whatever his name was. 6 years ago, now so you look the guy. Look and go up. Look and come down. That is against the will of God. Is displeased when you do that, as a matter of fact. He's positively displeased. He does not like the idea. He's angry with you. Were it not for Jesus Christ, he will have injured you since that time. The reason why I have not been injured is because of the grace of Christ. That's the reason why you have not been injured. But that grace calls you to repentance. Are you getting my point? Because listen, I keep on saying this. There was a time that the former MD of GT Bank used to hawk orange in Yaba. He used to do what? Hawk oranges. Oranges on his head. Tied, you know, you see those boys you see at the filling stations at night selling oranges? One of them will be a bank MD one day. Yeah, that's what it is. Yes. He went through that experience. He used to hawk oranges in Yaba and avoid the areas where he knew his classmates lived. Not only did the guy become what he became. Listen, one day one of my friends, they wanted to sell a house. And the asking price was 500 million naira in Ikoyi. This was like 3 years ago. They were discussing how much we sell the house. 500 million. The guy wanted to buy it. Not him. It's the boy he made that was pricing the house. I'll give you guys 450. So I asked my friend, what do they want to do with that kind of house? My friend looked at me like, they want to live in it. What's your problem? You mean human beings? You just take 500 million and buy a house that you just close the gate and sleep? You know, you expect to hear that maybe they want to do hotel with it or do company resource center, special guest house. No. The guy just likes it. It's near the water. See, the breeze is good. We thank God, amen. The point I'm making is that's one of the people he made. This boy used to hawk oranges in Yaba. Get that point clear. And you know the interesting thing? We like to tell those stories as if God has stopped doing it. He hasn't stopped. See these children you see selling oranges? One of them will own an airline one day. These children you see. Very important you get that point. That's why I'm telling you, young women, don't do it. You don't want to marry a man, no, be by force, not by force. How many people can you marry? No, you want. And must you like everybody just because they are all not rich? Mr. Pastor Banks said, I must be humble. So every poor man you see, you must like him. I didn't say so. Are you getting my point? It's only one man. So nobody is saying that you can't refuse, but you must be nice, you must be appreciative if you realize that this guy is a great man that God has made, and God loves him more than anybody else on this earth. In quotes. Yeah, God loves the guy seriously. God loves him intimately. So he wouldn't like it if you use eye to lift the guy up and then drop him. Boom. It's not good. Do you get my point? I'm talking about what? Faith and unbelief. These are the things we do that constitute unbelief so that our prayers cannot be answered. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Listen, prayer, God answers prayers. In fact, I was listening to Andrew Mark today, and it was so beautiful. He was emphasizing the fact that God answers prayers. And I preached a message titled with that same title like 5 years ago. I remember saying it, God answers prayers. That's the title of the message. I think it's in our collection. The problem is that sometimes people don't understand the answer. The answers come, they fight it. Israel prayed for the Messiah. The Messiah came. When Jesus said, don't make your prayers openly, otherwise you have your reward. Go and check it well. I've analyzed that scripture. It was the prayer they were praying for the redemption of Israel. Pharisees used to do fasts so that the Messiah would come. They wanted deliverance. The day the Messiah came, they said, crucify him. So it's crucial that we do not make their mistake. That's what I'm going to say. So when you are praying, stick with that which is written. This is election period. We have already prayed. God has heard us. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So what we want from the election is peace. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We declare peace upon this season in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We declare peace upon this season in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What we want as a result of the transition of government is good government. The government under which righteousness will be promoted. Therefore, we declare that we receive it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What we want is a government that will stand against corruption. Therefore, we receive it from the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We understand that the Almighty rules in the affairs of men and gives the kingdom over to whosoever he wishes and sets upon it the lowliest of men. Therefore, we declare that the person that God wishes is the one that will come into power in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is not what some group of people decided. No, it is the person that God wishes. But what we are saying is that person will do the will of God in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Don't forget, what God wants for rulers is that they do his will. He said, I have found a man after my heart who will do all my desires. Are you getting my point? And we know what pleases God. What pleases him is progress, prosperity, righteousness, justice. He said, God delights in the prosperity of his servants. And God wants us to prosper. He told the people, pray for that land so that it will have peace and prosperity. So that you also can have peace and prosperity. So I will know that God wants us to have peace and prosperity. Therefore, we declare upon this land, Nigeria, that the next set of leadership, the rulers, they will do the will of God, in summary, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They will promote righteousness in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
They will promote justice in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The economy will flourish under them in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And God will establish them by himself in power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Once again, we speak against violence.
Amen.
We declare against violence.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Those who have made up their minds that they will do violence. Now listen to this. I want to pray a dangerous prayer. Okay? Lord, in their beds, there they will expire.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Nobody's life will be given for theirs.
Amen.
Let them lose theirs so that peace will reign in the land.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Those who will not let peace reign, take it away from them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Those who will not enjoy peace, let them not see it.
Amen.
in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
But as for the land and all of us who are praying, Lord, we will not run helter-skelter at night or at noonday.
Amen.
But in peace we will lie down and sleep.
Amen.
For you alone will cause us to dwell in safety.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
All right, let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time. Please bless somebody on your side with it. This is your season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. One more person.
This is